just wasn't exposed to it. So like even with Dallas radio, when I first moved here, I would listen to it, just try to figure out like what are the stations to listen to. But after you hear Ain't a Stain on Me without Murph Lee on there so many times, you just be like, you know what? I don't care. Yeah. I've lost interest in this whole thing.
Like I was saying, Stephanie Mills, man, like Stephanie Mills' career extended. And before we even get started, though, I didn't put this on it. Did everybody see the Chingy Unsung?
I heard about it. I didn't see it, though, but I heard little parts about it.
Yeah. I loved all the Seamless people that was on there. I loved it. I saw, like, we saw DJ Cut on there, DJ Snow. Isis was on there, Mousy was on there.
Okay,
it was all great. Never talked about none of the St. Louis beef stuff. but I'm saying it's on DVDs. The beef DVDs are already out there, so it's like you have to address it. It's not like something like, hey man, I know that dude's on 444 Farland, they was fighting. That's different. I get that, but that was in the lexicon that they were in a situation, and Ali was their manager, his manager for a while.
Yeah, wasn't he in a group with his brother, with his little brother or something?
Yeah, they did show that for a second. I didn't know that he had braids at one point. I did not know that. They showed a music video with them with braids. Did not know that.
Was it shot on the riverfront?
No, it was in a neighborhood.
Okay.
It was in the neighborhood. Also, Chingy had a kid. Also, Chingy has kids like damn near 30. He had a kid at 15, 16. I did not know that.
Damn. So he probably a grandfather.
Could be.
Now,
Mike,
not to be on Living Color with the, what was the woman? You ain't heard it from me. What was the woman on in Living Color?
I ain't the one that got Benita Betrayal.
I ain't one to gossip, but you ain't heard it from me.
I ain't one to gossip. So,
he says on coming back with Tyrese was about a girl from St. Louis. I heard back in the day it was about Dion Richmond's mama, the little kid, little boy from Everybody Loves Chris. Because he was dating his mama.
The brother.
That was the word on the street.
Whether it was about a girl in St. Louis or not, like, it was a song about a girl, right? And I love that song.
Oh, please. Shit. Hold on. We got our guest. Hold on. Hey, hold on. We got our guest. Hey, we...
See, I feel so bad. Everybody has their backgrounds, and I'm still in the process of decorating. So, like, literally, I was like, okay, do I have a thumbtack around here? Let me put a calendar on the back or something until I can get my wall together.
Yeah.
Man, hold on. We starting the show now. We was just bantering before. Man, welcome. I love nice music. We had never did an intro. We haven't done the intro previously. Make sure you go on Facebook, get into the group. Go on Instagram, everywhere you don't listen to 90s music. Yo, we are almost at 1,000 subscribers on. They'll probably be there by the time this come out. Because there, for some reason, our channel, if we put up Nelly and Ashanti, has the highest level. I damn near want to put every show as just Nelly and Ashanti. Those are some of our biggest things that we have. And it's always somebody commenting on Stacey, like, yeah, girl, exactly. You right. And they don't talk about nothing to me, Scott, talking about. It's always direct towards Stacey.
It's the year of the black woman, man.
And the thing is, though, and I don't look at the comments. It's like, girl, have to tell me that somebody said something. And I'd be like, oh, let me go in and go.
No, there's so many comments like, yo, I love her lips. And I'd be like, hey, man, I don't comment. I don't like it. I don't do nothing with it. It just sits there.
You're like, what?
Hey, look, all I know is that when I finally drop my lipstick brand, you better buy the shit.
Boom.
That's all I'm saying. When I finally drop the brand, like, so the wearing the lipstick thing is actually really strategic, right? And it's more or less like, I need another brand to see me and be like, hey, can I send you some lipstick? Or when I finally drop mine, then people would be like, oh, she was already wearing shit. So, but yeah, like, so whoever, thank you for the compliment on my lips. feel free.
There's multiple compliments. There's multiple people.
Thank you for the multiple
women and men. It's not even just, it's not like,
yeah, yeah. But women, remember, well, before, so here's the thing, in the group, when we used to do lives in the group, the women would log in to ask me what lipstick I was wearing. Like, they would literally join to ask that. And I would keep it on my desk and be like, this today I'm wearing blah, 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 blah. So, and so I was like, I already own it. And so it's like, I might as well say something about it. And if they want to give me some free stuff, I mean, sometimes it works. Look, look at what happened with the Mango Scotto.
Yeah, with E40.
Shout out to E40, man. Shout
E40 sent us two cases of wine. So
E40 follows us and everything like this.
Right. I was just trying, like,
the 40 water.
This is what I'm saying. All I want is send me some lipstick, whatever. So yeah, when it comes time, fellas buy it for your girls. Girls buy it for you. Whatever year that is, that it'll drop.
Hey, Vika, before you even get in, I got to do your intro, man. Before you even jump in, I got to do your proper intro, man.
Okay.
Let me get your proper intro together.
All right. Let me hide my face.
So if you've ever seen Ebony Eyes' In Your Face video, the DJ in the club. Now, was that Club Chaos? You can chime in for 1 second.
Okay.
Was that Club Chaos?
No. You know where that was? That was at the City Museum.
Oh.
They just, you know, decked it out as, you know.
Remember though, Club Chaos had those cages like that.
Yeah.
In there as well.
Yeah, no, it was a City Museum. They decked it out to look like a club. One of those, you know, they got a whole bunch of, you know, different rooms and everything. The whole building is set up like
as a
room. So you know, you can really do a lot of stuff with it, but yeah, that's
so. Let me finish your intro. That was just this a part of the intro. I had to get a clarification. One of the only brothers I know, when I come in and we're the only two grooving to the Jones Girls, Nights Over Egypt, and I come in, I'm like, hey, you gonna play? You already know I'm gonna play it. Every time I see him, he's like, you know, I'm gonna play it. One of the only DJs that mixes Bobby Shmurda with Camp Low at the same time and gets it together. One of the only ones that has mixed UGK and Outkast together in a mixtape that is out in the streets. If you have, it is out there on the SoundClouds, all that good stuff. The only brother that has been able to vacillate between the early 2000s and now and still have a DJ air and still keeping his integrity. And still playing what he believes in him.
Yeah.
The great DJ Nappy Needles is on I Only Listen to 90s Music.
Yes, yes, yes. I am finally on. Thank you. I feel I have arrived. No.
Wait, you say finally. Have you been trying to get on? And you were, was there a gatekeeper?
Anytime I'm invited to any type of podcast or what, I'm like, word? Okay, great. Cool. Awesome. Like, let's go. You know, if time permits. I don't mess up the schedule. But yeah, no. I love when people who know what they're talking about got a platform and they're doing what they need to do with it. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, yeah, me coming in and being in the what they say backstage, I'm listening to y'all and y'all putting me up on game. I didn't know all that stuff about, you know, Chingy.
Let's stay with the Chingy for a second.
Yeah,
I don't experience being a dick. It's like, this is your, like, you are in the, like, era of your thing at that time.
Yeah. Yeah. But
how was that feeling at that time? Like, that was the,
so here's the sad part. I didn't see that Unsung. I want to see it. I remember hearing about them talking about it, and I was interested in seeing it. But yeah, I haven't seen it yet. But yeah, I was in it. That was definitely a large part of, you know, my you know, ascension, if you will. You know, I started in '98 and you know, you know, I mean, like, you were you know, I was mostly in the underground club.
Yeah. Things like and that. I forgot another part of the introduction, man. Yo, his brother and my brother went to high school together. It was my boy, man. Rest in peace to Barrington, man. That was my guy, man, in high school. And that's how I met him in high school. Shout to Barrington, man. Rest in peace, man. Like, man, for real, man. Rest
in peace, man. Yeah. Look, I mean, and he was an integral part in my production side. Like, he taught me. Like, I posted when he passed. I posted. I'm like, my brother taught me how to make beats. Like, he was doing all some crazy stuff. I was still over with my mom on the east side. And he was doing. He was always in the computers. He was just a whiz, man. He was a genius. And so, like, this was before I really messed with computers. This was, you know, late 90s, and he had his computer programs, and I would hear all of these like amazing sounds, like these dope beats. And I was thinking that he was just playing regular songs, you know, like, you know, and I'm like, who is this? What? And he's like, I made these beats. And he was into a lot of, you know, dance, techno house stuff. And I'm like, what? Like, what did you make this from? You know, like he introduced me to these programs, you know, on music production. Like, you know, so I give it up to him all the time. Like, I, you know, I took it in a hip hop sample based direction, but you know, he was the one that showed me the way. And so, yeah, but I, like going into the early to mid 2000s, it was a wild time, man. Like, you know, as you said, I played to the beat of my own drum, and so like I didn't really pay too much attention. I didn't really go so far into that realm that people like Chingy came out of. I wasn't
it's much mainstream.
I wasn't really trying to do a whole lot of club or radio based stuff. If it was dope and it happened to be on the radio, and then I would do it. But I wasn't really chasing that. I could do it, and I didn't mind playing a lot of that stuff because I didn't hate it completely. So, you know, if I hated it, I wasn't about to play it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I
Needles will not play. If he hates it, he's not gonna play.
Like, I'm not about to play it. And you know, I found coming from the underground side and just, you know, playing whatever that you thought was dope into that realm of, like, I guess overground with the Saigus and the First Fridays and that type of crowd who was still rooted in like real shit, you know what I'm saying, real stuff, but they still, you know, they had a crowd that kind of really wanted to dance to familiar stuff. It became apparent to me, like, I'm like, man, these are two different crowds, you know what I'm saying? Like, I love them both, you know what I'm saying? They both my people, but it's like, on this side, if you say, nah, I don't really like this song, they like that, I'll pay you to play it. And I'm like, nah, you know, I ain't that type of DJ. He's like, and the only reason I said, like, a lot of people be like, why you ain't gonna take the money? The only reason is because I'm trying to, like, make sure people understand the type of DJ I am. You know what I mean? Like, because if I play it, that is basically promoting this record that I'm not feeling and I'm not trying to have as a part of the vibe that I, you know, put forth.
You're curating.
You are the content that you share.
Right, right. And so I could never, I just was never into that. I just, like, you know, if I ain't... It's hard. It was a very hard line to toe. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, I played the Chingies and everything and the Nellies, obviously, and you know, Ebony Eyes. Ebony Eyes came from the underground. Like, she would I saw at her early 2000s, man, and she was just raw on the mic. Like, you know, she was part of a group, but she would always come to High Point.
Man, shout out to the High Point.
High Point.
Yeah, man. Yeah, she'd be on the mic, man, just with along with all the other MCs, man, and just like ripping it. And then, you know, when she got her deal, we was all happy for her, you know. I hate that she wasn't able to, you know, make that go further than it did, you know, on the major label side. But, you know, what I was really proud of with the In Your Face joint, it was like, it was definitely like the production was, I think it was the Track Boys, I think.
Track Boys.
So, you know, dope production team, but it was definitely specifically made for club, you mm-hmm. know, right. And it was hard. It was hard hitting and everything. And really, I always noted that, you know, the good thing about Ebony Eyes was that even though the song was called In Your Face, she really didn't rap about some old raunchy sexual stuff.
No, that's real.
Aside from the hook, mm-hmm. she went in on the verses. Like, if you really listen to that, she's just like slaying shit. Like, she's really rhyming on that song, you know. And then, you know, she gives the people what they need in the hook and everything. And I always was like, that's really dope that she maintained her MC roots on that, like just real raw MC roots on that. So, but yeah, shout out to Ebony Eyes, man.
Yeah, I mean, we gonna get into our topics, man. But I do have like some I got you just sparked my mind on some like random St. Louis rap questions, man. And we've like had like shout out to DJ Cut that's came on as well, man.
Yeah.
So what was it that you realized that I always say that St. Louis has the best connoisseurs of hip hop in the world?
Yeah.
And I literally mean that.
Yeah.
Like, I literally mean anyone from St. Louis is the best connoisseurs of hip hop in the world, because you can go over on this part, somebody's playing Wu-Tang, somebody's playing UGK over here, someone's playing 3-6 over here, someone's playing something else over here. Yeah. And why do you think that
we heard everything?
That's exactly what I was gonna say. I mean, like, you know, it's kind of the same answer for everybody. You know, we're in the middle, and so we got everything from everywhere. And you know, we didn't I think a lot of Midwest cities that were tapped into hip hop in particular, we had I don't know, it depends on how you look at it. Some might say we had the advantage, or some might say we had the disadvantage. Either way, we weren't the forefront like the East Coast was first, and then the West Coast was second. Like, we weren't those areas starting off anyway. Like, you know what I'm saying? They were major players early, you know, and major pioneers early. And we were kind of spectating, you know, we got it fed to us, and we loved it. And we, you know, we came up, but we were never on the map like they were. So with the East Coast, you know, they're credited with creating the culture, creating the music and all this stuff. And a lot of people who participated in it and did it and were just fans of it in the East Coast, they developed this feeling of, I mean, not Sadat, but Lord Jamar from Brand Nubian. He admits it on Hip Hop Evolution that he was like, we was just thinking that this was just ours. Like, this was
mm-hmm. yep.
always going to be a New York thing. And we were the only ones that was going to do it. And we were like, this was going to be our export to the world. Like, you know, then they were like, we didn't know that people in California was doing it and all that stuff. So, I mean, like, you know, they stuck to what they knew and what they were accustomed to. And kind of the same thing with the West Coast. They were sticking with what they knew. They really weren't tapping into a lot of different other points in the on the map. Now, of course, that leaves the middle part of the country, and that's us. And we're getting everything. We're getting stuff from the East Coast, from the West Coast. We're getting, you know, the stuff that's coming up from the South. We're getting the Two Live Crews and the, you know, and the Ghetto Boys and the, you know, the UGKs and the 8-Balls and the AGs and all them. And then from the North, we're getting Twista, we're getting Bone, we're getting, you know,
MC Bree.
MC Bree. Right. We're getting, you know. And so yeah, it was, I think it was more of a, it was more of a real hip hop ecosystem that was in place that, you know, made it possible for things to funnel, you know, to where they needed to go. You know, we had dope stations here in St. Louis. We had, you know, definitely Magic 108, you know, mm-hmm. Magic 108 for people that forget, you know, they had, and I almost say, I don't know if rap radio should have ever been created because it seemed like it was so much better curated
because you only had 4 or 5 hours.
It was just featured, right? You know, like
a couple hours a night.
Yeah, 6 to 9. Six to nine. That's 3 hours. 6 to 9. With, you know, before Kevin Kev, though, it was Captain G. Captain G, rest in peace.
No, go back with it. You go. You said before Kevin Kev, what now?
Before Kevin Kev, it was Captain G.
Captain G
headed up the 6 to 9 in the 80s to the late 80s. And around the early 90s, he moved to California, I want to say. And unfortunately, he got killed out there.
What?
Yeah.
Hold on.
I was sick. I
what year was this?
I can't remember. Cut might know. I'm pretty sure Cut would know. People like Toss and Ted and Doc Love, all of them, they worked with him, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I was
in LA, or was he in the Bay, or was he in LA?
I'm not sure what part of California he was in. But all I know is that I was, you know, I was late 80s, so I was maybe 12, 13. And like, you know, I was a faithful listener. You know, he was like my dad, you know, obviously, you know, he with WESL and
hold on, another part of the intro. Let me.
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
Your daddy played the first hip hop song ever.
That's what I'm saying.
So he greenlit the playing of the first hip hop,
which is Rapper's Delight.
But it was the first time hip hop was played on radio. Yeah,
period. This is not just in St. Louis. We talking about worldwide.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like coming up after the Isley Brothers. We got this new jam.
Yeah, Sugar Hill Gang. Like,
we got something new for you.
You might think this.
We got something new for you.
I don't know if they're gonna be here next week, but it sounds cool. Yeah.
You might think it's good times, but you might think it's just some people talking over good times.
It might be good times.
But yeah, no, it's a funny story. That's a funny story because the DJ that he had played, her name is EDB. And she's an awesome, awesome lady, man. But she was not with it at all. She didn't want to play it. She was a real jazz fan, like jazz head. And so, you know,
she's trying to play Bitches Brew.
For real, man. She was not into it. She did not want to play it at all. And my dad was like, no, you're gonna play this record. Like, you're gonna play the record.
It's gonna change the world.
And he said they ended up playing that record. I forget how many times he said that day. Like, it was
so people were calling in, like, what is that? Play that again.
Like, play it again.
Yeah, it just, you know, caught on like wildfire, man. Like, it was crazy. So yeah, that happened. And you know what? I didn't even
step it back. Before, how did your dad even get his hands on that to even play that?
So he was friends with the Robinsons that started Sugar Hill.
Oh, Sylvia Robinson and them, their own Sugar Hill.
Yeah. Yeah, Sylvia and Joe Robinson, and so him being in radio, because you know it's Sylvia Robinson. She was a artist herself. Mm-hmm. She was a solo artist, and before that, she did you know, the record from Dirty Dancing that they dance to, Love is Strange, when they're like,
Stacey, I need you. We need you here.
they're saying like, oh Sylvia, and she's like, anyway, it's a big song from that movie when they're like practicing and everything. So she comes from that. I think that was a 50s song or maybe even 60s. I don't know. But so yeah, she had a long career in music already, and she was like, you know, she's trying to start this record label. She heard hip hop being played at a party for I think her nephew or something, and she was like, this is different. This is interesting. I want to do something with this. And so, you know, like her or not, man, and you know, and like her methods or not, she kind of like, you know.
Yeah, we can say about the methods.
Look, it happens. We've seen it sometimes, you know. Amazing things happen in the end, but there was some shady shit that happened.
Yeah.
Get to this.
But how did your dad know them, though? Like, to even...
You'd have to ask him. I don't even know.
Like, that's just random. Then, like, you just know Sylvia Robinson, you know.
Well,
and he was like, you know what? You know, but how would you be like, hey, play this record out in St. Louis at KRL or whatever out there. How do you play it out there, though?
It's really not all that uncommon because, again, he was a big radio dude. And he would bring in, this is after he brought in shows to the Checker Dome. Like he was doing a lot of stuff. Him and
that's how I know that this was a while
ago. Your dad and Michael Jackson.
You saw that photo? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on. What year is that we are trying to do a documentary on at some point of the Budweiser Superfest, Stacey?
Oh, my God. That was 82. 82.
The 82 Budweiser Superfest. Yeah. We're trying to figure out doing a documentary on this, the St. Louis version.
My mom already down. My mom down.
Right, like I said, my mom is like, I learned about it because of my mother and her talking about that specific event at Busch Stadium. Stevie didn't go on until 5. Like, that's the story, all of that. So, and then she tells me that, and I'm like, okay. And like the lineup is insane. Right, of the people that were there that night. And like I said, but Stevie didn't go on until 5 o'clock in the morning. And as the story goes, parents are calling the police, where is my child at? And they're like, well, they still at the
stadium. Thing. It's still right. going on.
And then of course, because it's still going on. And then because every story involves Samantha, Samantha's mama was not at the concert. She was on the east side waiting on the after party to start that never started because the party hadn't started.
What? No after party. You can go home.
What? No after party. We still going. So look, when I'll be in St. Louis in about 2 weeks, and the plan is to, first, my mother loves the camera. Right, like I'll do an interview, but my mother is looking for the camera to be on TV. Right, like that's the difference. If you come to me and talk to me, I'll talk. She is going to find the camera. So get a couple of minutes with her to talk about her experience at the Budweiser Superfest, and we.